the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Amen. I have two distinct images of John the Baptist in my head. One comes from Godspell, the 1970s musical. I know this dates me, but you may have seen this play too. John the Baptist enters into the dark theater singing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Prepare ye the way of the Lord. A spotlight follows John as he walks slowly through the audience up onto the stage, continually singing this line more times than seems truly necessary. And then all the stage lights come on to show John baptizing his colorfully clad and eager disciples from a bucket of water as they sing the same lines all happily together. Beautiful music, great imagery. Doesn't quite seem like John the Baptist in the gospel, though. The other image of John that sticks with me is from the Cotton Patch Gospel, a stage production adapted from Clarence Jordan's translation of Matthew's Gospel. This creative narrative recounts the story of Jesus as set in Georgia in the 1970s. I think there was a production here a few years back. In the Cotton Patch Gospel, John the Baptist is a loud, long, wavy-haired man dressed in a lawyer-like tattered pinstripe suit, waving a Bible and preaching hard while living on cornbread and collard greens and dipping people in the Chattahoochee River. This play is funny, and yet its message is spot on. And while John in this play seems far from a Middle Eastern locust-eating, honey-dripping-from-his-mouth man of the desert that we read about in Matthew, I think this John is a pretty fair depiction of the original, especially as he shouts, "Reshape your lives. You call yourselves good church folks? Huh. Show me the proof." But why, oh, why is John the Baptist intruding into our nice, peaceful Advent anyway? Maybe we could tolerate the baby John, Elizabeth's child, that Luke tells us is Jesus' cousin, you know, the one who leapt in the womb when Mary came to visit her cousin. But this wild-eyed John smelling of camel's hair, been wandering in the wilderness? I'm not so sure. It seems today we've been set up. We hear Isaiah's vision of the peaceable kingdom. We read together Psalm 72, which wonderfully describes the ideal king, one who defends the needy, rescues the poor, and brings delight to the people. We hear Paul's blessing for the Christians in Rome. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. Then the gospel, in which we hear John crying, "Repent, even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree." John gives us a little bit of whiplash. John is out there. He comes from a tradition of Jews who've rejected the great temple's ways and the opulence of Jerusalem. Many scholars believe that John was raised in the Qumran community as a child. This is the group from whom we got the Dead Sea Scrolls. The faithful in Qumran were desert dwellers, strict ascetics, with extensive bathing rituals of purification. When you walk out into the excavations of the homes at Qumran, you see the remnants of pool after pool, some shallow, others very deep. You take 12 steps down into the water. These pools are sitting side by side with their eating quarters and cooking areas. The Qumran community studied the law and the prophets religiously. No pun intended. They followed a manual which called them to separate from the world. All their efforts, the manual stated, were to culminate in preparing the way of the Lord. And this takes us right back to Isaiah, whose prophecy John the Baptist quotes today. You will hear a voice coming out of the wilderness calling, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." This point, the musical, the gospel, the Godspell gets entirely correct. We read about John the Baptizer today because John's whole purpose is to prepare the way of the Lord. John is sent to usher in something new. Change is about to happen. And he tells these religious folks who come out to see what is going on with him and his disciples, if you want to be part of this, you must change. You cannot rest on your credentials or your ancestry or your education or even your church membership. And these days, we argue about identity politics, but John is saying there is no place for identity, faith. You actually must do something. You must turn toward God. John comes this time of year pointing to the one who will change the world. And he asks, are we ready for this? Are we ready? I wonder. You know, it's one thing to ask Jesus to come and change the world. It's altogether something else to ask Jesus to change us. Who needs changing anyway? As a child, I used to wonder, what in the world would I confess if I ever went to confession? Heck, I used to wonder why I was beating my breast in the general confession each week. Thought, word, and deed. What have I done? Calling my brothers and sisters bad names apparently didn't count. Nor did my teen selfishness or pride or conceit or, well, we'll stop there. I could go on. Sure, I heard sermons saying we're all sinners before God, but I thought that was a bit of an overstatement. I haven't killed, I haven't committed adultery, or even lied, mostly. I don't remember when the light came on for me that I need not be an infamous sinner to be counted amongst the sinners, nor a famous saint to be counted in the community of saints, but I'm glad it did. The reality is that we live in a fallen world. Just in our culture of consumerism, particularly this time of year, there is an undertow we experience every day. It is simply impossible for us to live without sinning. So enter John to remind us our sin impedes our relationship with God. And to tell us, a Savior is coming, so prepare yourselves, make straight his paths. John wants there to be an unobstructed path between Jesus and us. John's baptizing in the Jordan publicly marks his disciples turning toward God. When we baptize here in St. Luke's, we literally make an about face. We face the font, marking our turning toward God. Once again, all together, recognizing the life-renewing forgiveness our Savior brings. Now as an adult, when I say the confession, I embrace it. I believe in acknowledging that I've fallen short. I am accepting my Savior once again, just as my godparents did for me when I was baptized. Saying the confession with all of you is just as powerful for me. It reminds me of our responsibility toward one another. We are all in this together. Sin is communal, and so is God's saving grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, we say, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Walk in your ways. This is the path we are to make straight in Advent. delighting in the will of God rather than our own will. As we prepare for the God incarnate, living not in helpless submission to God, but understanding our responsible belonging to God as disciples of Christ. Our God comes to be with us, born as one of us, Emmanuel, God with us, to show us the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.